The Detroit Lions might be reeling, but for a Green Bay Packers team coming off two consecutive losses, they can't afford to look any opponent at this point. Before getting into a preview of Sunday's game, we feature an interview with Packers linebacker Joe Thomas. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Detroit Lions. We're going to get into a preview, a prediction, get into some of the news revolving around the Packers. But first, we're kicking off our show with our
expert interview.
If you were discouraged a few weeks ago, I know I myself had promoted an appearance by Packers linebacker Joe Thomas on the show a few weeks ago, and it didn't happen at the time. Joe acknowledged it. He had a few meetings that he couldn't, you know, escape or whatever. Obligations to the Green Bay Packers. That's good. His commitments to the team. We'll give him that. But even better, he's such a nice guy. He rescheduled. I talked to him earlier this week here in advance of this Lions game and going to play our interview with him now. I think it's really cool. And listen in. We're joined right now by Green Bay Packers linebacker Joe Thomas joining us on the phone. Mr. Thomas, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us for an interview. I think most people know your story by now. You were with the Green Bay Packers in training camp and then released and re-signed, I believe, in time for week three of the season. So I guess my first question to you is, you weren't gone for long. How much time did it take you to get back up to speed?
It really didn't take that long because, you know, as you just said, I was only gone for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, I really didn't lose any information, but it was kind of challenging, you know, coming back, especially trying to learn Dallas defense and coming back and jumping right back into a totally different scheme. So, I mean, but for me, I mean, I jumped right back into it fairly easy.
During the time you were gone, you spent a brief spell on the practice squad of the Dallas Cowboys. Were you exhausted at all? Because I can't imagine leaving Green Bay, moving to Dallas, and then moving back to Green Bay all in the span of a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very quick transition for me, you know, from training camp with Green Bay, then going on down to Dallas and being on the practice squad. And the environment is totally different, you know, as far as practice goes and as far as the weather goes. So just being there those 2 weeks in Dallas, you know, took a strain on my body, I feel like.
Yeah, I believe it. So you come back to Green Bay, and I don't want to paint you with a broad brush entirely here, but I think it's a little bit fair to say you've kind of been known as the guy who allows Clay Matthews to move from inside linebacker to outside linebacker. Do you resent that at all when I bring that up or when other people bring that up, kind of tying you to him?
I feel like I give the defense flexibility, and I do give, you know, Clay the opportunity to move outside where he's used to being. You know, he's one of the best pass rushers this league has. So, you know, when we're able to get him outside, you know, they bring challenges to the offense, and that's why we were like, when I first came back, we were number two in the league in sacks. You know, just by me coming back and moving him on the outside, it gives our defense more flexibility.
I hear that, and I promise here, I'll focus my questions from here on out in you and the entire defense. You've been coming into the game in the Packers' nickel and dime packages frequently on passing downs. Would you say that's something that's in your wheelhouse, a strength of yours, playing the pass as opposed to the run?
I mean, I feel like I can play both, you know, but I'm a tweener as a linebacker, you know, because I could be a safety, but I've always been a linebacker. So, I mean, just right now, those are just the packages I've been playing because, you know, we have guys that are bigger than me and they feel like can, you know, stop the run better because of their weight. But at the same time, I can still stop the run as well as I can play the pass.
I'm curious, when it is the pass, do you enjoy blitzing more or asked to be playing coverage and maybe get an interception or something like that?
I mean, I enjoy both, man. You know, blitzing is more of it's new to me because I'm coming off the edge and I like the challenge of trying to, you know, develop a pass rushing game. But at the same time, it doesn't hurt to drop back in coverage and, you know, make a big play, make a pick six or forced fumble and try to take it to the crib. So, I mean, I like both areas. I mean, I can't really decide.
Sounds good. You can't go wrong with either one, I don't think. Joe, you're one of nine players, though, to register a sack on the Packers' defense this season. What does that say to you about the defense that so many players have been able to get to the quarterback?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to get a read on defense. It's a pressure defense, and Dom Capers does a great job of developing plays for players, and we do a great job of executing the plays.
I just talked about the good that nine players have sacks, but unfortunately in each of the past two games, however, the defense has gotten zero sacks. Has any frustration kind of set in because the defense hasn't been able to get to the quarterback lately?
I didn't hear you.
Has any frustration set in because the defense hasn't been able to get sacks the past two games?
I mean, naturally, yes. Some frustration is going to, arouse because we have some of the best pass rushers in the league with Julius Peppers, Slay Matthews, you know, Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones, all these guys. And when you can't get to the quarterback, I'm pretty sure those guys are pretty frustrated. But, I mean, I think we're going to get it together. I mean, teams have been match protecting the quarterback because they know how we get out the quarterback. But as the year goes on, we're gonna develop, you know, different schemes and different plays to get to the quarterback. So it's gonna come.
What's the mindset of this team going forward, coming off two consecutive losses?
Win. You know, get back to playing Packer football. That's it right now. Just this week beat Detroit, and it just went. That's it. Win.
That's very succinct, and I think that works. But how important is this stretch of four straight games against division opponents in the NFC North?
I mean, it's very important because this is pretty much crunch time now when you're playing in the division. And right now we're tied with Minnesota at the top of the division. So, I mean, in the last couple of years, we ran the NFC North. So, I mean, it's going to be big for us to come out of these next four games. We got Detroit home this week, and we're going to be away on a couple of them. So it's going to be very huge for us to get some wins these next four games.
I'm interested. Have you been made aware of the fact that the last time the Lions won in the state of Wisconsin, it was 1991?
I was born, so I wasn't aware of that.
Do you feel any extra pressure because of that?
Do we feel any pressure?
Yeah.
Pressure? I mean, it's always pressure in the NFL, but we never care about who's coming out of the tunnel. We just want to get the W. So this week is going to be very tough and very strenuous because we're coming off of two losses. So, I mean, we're just focusing on winning. It's going to be pressure, but I feel like as long as we play Green Bay Packers football, we're going to get the W.
Joel, thank you. But before we let you go, I got one last question for you, and this is kind of a weird one. But has anyone ever confused you with the other Joe Thomas who plays professional football? And I guess I ask you that just mainly because he's from Wisconsin.
I mean, every time. I mean, actually, it was this article. It was on me. But they had Joe Thomas from the Cleveland Browns picture as my profile picture. I mean, that was pretty funny to me, but. Every time somebody in Green Bay hears Joe Thomas, they automatically think, oh, we got Joe Thomas from the Cleveland Browns. We have the best left tackle in the league. And then I show up and they say, he's a little darker than I thought. He's a little smaller than I thought. But yeah, all the time.
Well, I'm very happy to have the other Joe Thomas. So thank you so much, Joe, for joining us today. Appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck this weekend. And go Pack, go, all right?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. Thank you to the Green Bay Packers, Joe Thomas, for joining us on the show today. Great to have him. Great to talk to him. And it was so cool that he rescheduled when he had some time and was able to actually get this interview on the air. So thank you to Joe Thomas for joining us today. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us well as we continue on with the show with our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, a few notes since our last episode. And this now is probably about 2 days old at the time I'm recording this, but it's been the first time being able to address it on the show because I think it really just came about right after our last episode went off air, not too long afterwards. But James Starks being called the number one player on the depth chart at running back in Green Bay. And you know what? This basically was a mere formality at this point. It got attention because it came out of the mouth of Mike McCarthy. But really, if you've been watching this team, it didn't take that to tell you who the number one running back is. Starks is now the leading rusher on the team. He's fallen behind Eddie Lacy, and there's been so much attention on Eddie Lacy lately, and I think it's, you know, been totally unfair for him. And I got into this in a column at 24/7 Sports this week. If you want to go check it out, I'm sure you can just Google it or check out our archives. If you're looking for the root of the problem, why is Eddie Lacy struggling and James Starks ahead of him on the depth chart? Basically, it doesn't have anything to do with weight or conditioning, in my opinion. I think what you're seeing is a guy who was injured early in the season. So he's injured week two early in the game, misses the rest of that game, is on the injury report for the next 2 weeks, so weeks three and four of the season. And although he plays through injury in those games. Not only that, just this past week against the Carolina Panthers, suffers a groin injury midway through the game, doesn't return. That is four games in which James Starks was played through injury or had to leave a game due to injury. That is 50% of the Packers' season so far. He's been injured in 50% of the team's games. Okay, so there's the injury factor. On top of that, Eddie Lacy has now fumbled in three consecutive games, the most recent three games here as we speak right now. And yes, he's only lost one this past week against the Carolina Panthers, a very disappointing fumble, but it's not showing much ball security. And you can understand why the Green Bay Packers have, you know, been putting Eddie Lacy out on the field less and putting James Starks out on the field more. And you know, I'd throw on top of that, if you will, I mean, James Starks, that this is nothing to take away from him. James Starks is a pretty darn good football player in his own right. And if you look at the career stats of both, not just this season, that they both averaged 4.3 yards per carry over the course of their career. It's identical. I mean, Eddie Lacy and James Starks are basically equally talented players, and they each have things that they do a little bit better than the other. It, you know, James Starks has a little bit more speed. Eddie Lacy has a little bit more power. And it's not like they're, you know, it's not like James Starks isn't lacking power. I'm not saying that. It's just that Eddie Lacy's the more powerful player. He has the better balance. Eddie Lacy's the guy who can go in and out of spins and bounce off tackles and things like that. That's something James Starks isn't able to do. But I would say James Starks is more dangerous in space, especially when the Packers get him the football on screens and things like that. I think he's able to get from 0 to 60 a little bit faster than Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy might actually have the better hands of the two, but maybe can't do quite as much as Starks after he gets the football in his hands. So there's things each of these players do really well in isolation, or, you know, as opposed to each other, but they're both really good. I don't like this whole weight thing that's happening here. Now I will say this. I mean, this isn't to let Eddie Lacy off the hook. He's just got to start playing better. And it starts, first of all, by being healthy. And the good news is it doesn't appear that this latest groin injury is going to linger. He, you know, even though he wasn't able to return to the Panthers game last week, he came right back the very next practice on Wednesday and Thursday, for that matter. He practiced. So that's good news. It's not like it was so bad he couldn't even practice or anything like that. So it looks like he's getting over injury, and the ankle injury now is in the rearview mirror. So that's good. And now just start hanging on to the football. And what's disappointing with the fumbles is they were never a problem earlier in his career. His rookie year, he had one fumble the whole entire year, 16 games. Last year, he also had 3 fumbles, same as this year. But that was over the course of an entire season, 16 games. He's lost very few. I think, last year he fumbled 3 times, only lost 1, kind of same as this season, I believe. So not really a big deal. So Eddie Lacy just has to curb that. Once that happens, I think you're going to see him start to become, once again, a bigger part of this game. And the Packers, as they've done for years, going to use both players. Yeah, in the past, they probably used Eddie Lacy a little bit more than James Starks, probably, you know, 2-1 or whatever, 2/3 to Lacy, 1/3 to Starks or whatever. And maybe it'll get back to that. I don't know, but it's not like James Starks is undeserving. I just, you know, think this whole weight and conditioning issue with Eddie Lacy is really overwrought, just because he's been a big guy his whole career. That hasn't changed any, I don't think. Maybe he's a little bit heavier than he was his rookie year, but I mean, I look at pictures of him. Is it considerably more than it was his rookie year? Hardly. I mean, a few pounds more, that's nothing to me in the NFL. But anyway, so the big news, James Starks officially number one atop the depth chart, if nothing else, making a big difference in probably a lot of people's fantasy football decisions out there. I can imagine if you draft Eddie Lacy, was probably a first round draft pick in many fantasy football drafts out there. And I can imagine that those owners out there are frustrated that they're not getting the production they have hoped. So, and this doesn't help matters in terms of him turning things around, or at least, you know, getting enough touches to keep people happy. So the fantasy football world is probably cussing Eddie Lacy right now. In other news, though, this past week, the Packers have a season-high 15 players on their injury report. And again, the silver lining here is that none of them are really bad injuries, you know, that any of these are going to keep any player out for a real long period of time. In fact, I mean, it could be a case where every single player, all 15 of them on the injury report, end up playing or is eligible to play this week. I mean, you got to have seven players on the game day inactive list. That's a requirement, a rule. So they might not all play, but they might be all healthy enough to play. We'll see. But it just is a big number that you were kind of hoping. I thought that bye week came at the perfect time for the Packers. It was about, you know, six games into the season, but they were really banged up at the time with some lingering issues to key players, like Lacy had the ankle at the time, and Randall Cobb was dealing with the shoulder, and Ty Montgomery had just injured his ankle. And I thought that would have been the worst of it. It's only going to get better from here on out. Well, it seems almost to have gotten worse. And again, maybe it's not the point where these guys going to miss a lot of time with any of these injuries, but still 15 players is just, you kind of sit there and look at it and shake your head a little bit. I think the area that's most concerning this week and this kind of, you know, I'll transition right in here into the game preview for the Detroit Lions at this point. I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for into this game is how do the Packers cover Calvin Johnson, especially with a secondary that's been banged up. Of those 15 players on the injury report, five of them are in the secondary. And, you know, kind of the ones with the biggest question marks are the two guys who didn't play in last week's game. Sam Shields with the shoulder injury, Quentin Rollins with the neck injury, and they've taken steps forward this week. They've practiced at least, but, you know, just given the fact that they've missed time, nobody out there has guaranteed anything in terms of will they play. And on top of that, all of a sudden out of the blue, Demarius Randall appeared on the injury report with not really an injury, an illness. Like, I don't know, he's got the cold or the flu or something. Hopefully he's over that by the time Sunday comes. Micah Hyde's on the injury report with a quadricep injury. Who else is out there? And Morgan Burnett with the lingering calf injury as well. So, I mean, how are they going to cover Calvin Johnson with these guys? Is Shields going to be back this game? Will he cover Calvin Johnson as kind of the guy who's, you know, the most veteran cornerback on the Packers roster, has covered Johnson before? Or will it go to Demarius Randall, the young up-and-coming rookie? How much? I mean, they'll give safety help over the top. It's a matter of how much. Do the Packers do that? Is it every snap? Is it just, you know, how often do they send blitzers that, you know, may leave somebody in a one-on-one situation? We'll see. I mean, that I think is the most fascinating thing, because he's the one guy that you really, really worry about on this Detroit Lions roster. And, you know, you do have to be worried about them a little bit. You can look at this team, this Lions team, like, oh, they're a team in disarray. I mean, just look, a little over 2 weeks ago, they fired three assistant coaches, including the grandson of Green Bay Packers legend, Vince Lombardi. Yes, the Detroit Lions fired offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and two other assistants. That was a little over 2 weeks ago. Then they have the game in London, overseas, and they lose that to the Kansas City Chiefs. And after that game, the next day or shortly thereafter, they fire general manager Martin Mayhew and president Tom Lewand. I'm not sure how you pronounce it even. So, I mean, you could just look, oh my, they're firing everybody, the coaches, the front office. And you just look at them like this team is teetering on the brink of this season being lost. But then you think, I mean, they've got Kelvin Johnson. They got this guy who is dangerous and still is dangerous. They were a team that was talented enough to go to the playoffs last year. And now they've got nothing to lose. That's the scary part, is they're, you know, going to be willing to try things. They're coming off a bye week. So, you know, sometimes you worry about a team coming off a game from overseas that they'll have jet lag or something like that. But they had the bye week afterwards, so probably not an issue anymore. And you know, during the bye week, they're going to, you know, try out some new stuff. There's going to be, you know, as Mike McCarthy frequently points out, unscouted looks. But I mean, those are things that are dangerous, things that you can't really prepare for on film. It's not like the players have seen these kind of things. There's going to be plays where that, you know, they're just going to have to react to the action happening on the field and can't rely on what they've seen on film. And the fact that, you know, it's an NFC North division game, the first of four the Packers are going to play here. And so this Green Bay Packers team can't afford, you know, to overlook the Lions. This Packers team is more vulnerable coming off two losses than they've been any point this season. Okay, so I've done my best trying to scare people or think that the Lions might pose a threat. Here's my game prediction. if you were mad at me for predicting two consecutive losses, here you go. Here's making up for it. I think this game is a blowout. I think there's no better time for the Packers to bust out of the doldrums than right now. I think they're going to be highly motivated coming off two losses. I think they're facing a team that's in disarray, that team you can't overlook, but I think that's good. I don't think the Packers are going to overlook them. I think they're going to be hyper-focused this week to look good and get back on track. And because, you know, now the Panthers have like a three-game lead for the number one seed in the NFC, maybe that's out of reach for the Packers. Maybe it's not. But anyway, that's so far down the road that it's not even worth bothering about. The one thing the Packers can control right now is winning the NFC North, winning the division crown, getting that guaranteed spot in the playoffs. And it starts with this stretch of games, starting with the Detroit Lions. I think, you know, that there's no better elixir for Aaron Rodgers to really get the offense going than facing a Lions defense that's without DeAndre Levy, of course, without a player like Ndamukong Suh from last season, Nick Fairley. You know, they've lost a lot of talent on that Lions defense. So I think the Packers are just going to torch them. There's, you know, no better time. I'm predicting a score of 35-10, a 25-point margin of victory, easily covering the spread. Of course, we just talked about with Joe Thomas, this Lions team hasn't won in the state of Wisconsin in 24 games since 1991. That's how long it's been. That was the last time the Lions went to the NFC Championship game, 1991. Wayne Fonts was the coach. Barry Sanders was the running back. Chris Spielman was the linebacker. That was a long time ago. Yeah, it's going to be an absolute trashing here, I think, on Sunday, and the Packers just demolish them. The real interesting game in this upcoming stretch is going to be next week at the Minnesota Vikings. That's going to be a dangerous one. That's one the Packers really can't afford to overlook at all. Playing a Vikings team that's young and improving and is currently tied with the Packers atop the standings, each with 6-2 records. That's going to be a big one. But first, the Packers got to get by the Lions, and I think they will. I think they demolish them, and that's good because they need the confidence to take into Minnesota. So that would be big for them if they can not just win, but win big to get them feeling like, you know, they're a Super Bowl contender once again. So there you go. Packers kill the Lions 35-10. And on with the last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, today, this evening, Friday evening. So if you're listening to this anytime during the day, you still have time to do it. An evening with Ron Wolf will be held at the Meyer Theater in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay, Friday night, I believe at 7:30 p.m. local time. Tickets are $25 each. You can buy them at Ticketstar outlets. If you're really interested, just Google Ticketstar. You'll be able to find them. But yeah, so of course, as you know, former Packers general manager Ron Wolf, the architect of Super Bowl 31, was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past summer. He's finally being honored by the Packers at halftime of this upcoming game. So Lions game at halftime, honoring Ron Wolf, acknowledging him on the field. So really cool. Hopefully he wears his gold jacket from Canton, Ohio. That'll be cool to see. The whole weekend's kind of revolving around him, honoring him in a way. And so prior to Sunday's game, an evening with Ron Wolf, kind of like a Q&A interview situation in which there will be an MC, Burt Griffin, who's been a guest here on Railbird Central before, will be the master of ceremonies and kind of interview Ron Wolf as Wolf reflects on a career in professional football that spanned nearly four decades. And I'm sure he's got tons to say about being part of a Oakland Raiders team back in the day under Al Davis, that was very successful and was actually, general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a while, a small while, worked with the Jets before coming to the Packers where he, was probably known for his most success because of the Super Bowl he won. But spent a lot of time in professional football and now is his son, Elliot Wolf, even, being talked about for being the future general manager of the Detroit Lions. I don't think it's going to happen, but who knows? It just goes to show the tradition and that the family name they've built and how respected it is for Elliot Wolf even be considered for that job up to this point. He's got a lot to credit for his father for getting his name out there and things like that. Congratulations to Ron Wolf on being a Pro Football Hall of Famer and being honored this weekend. So that's what you're looking forward to this Friday. And that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. Thank you to Joe Thomas for joining us for an interview. Really cool to have a Packers player on the show. Hopefully we can do that even more often coming up. We'll be back again on Monday with the next edition. We'll be recapping this Lions game as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted later in the day. My call to action, if you've not done so already, one small thing we ask from you, this podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask in return, could you give us a rating on iTunes, a rating, a brief review, nothing long. We really appreciate that. Helps us get the word out about the show. But have a good weekend, folks. Enjoy the game. Hopefully we are recapping a Packers decisive victory on Monday. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Sci Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.